Nepal, earthquake aftermath.
Digging through the rubble, hoping to find survivors.
The Colorado movie theater massacre.
This trial is all about his mental state.
Baltimore funeral for Freddie Gray.
When I go in there, it's reality that he really gone.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. With the CBS World News Roundup, the earthquake death toll tops 3,700 in Nepal, a figure likely to go higher as rescuers work to get to villages cut off by landslides. And for the survivors, it's a time of uncertainty and fear. Aftershocks have rattled the disaster zone. CBS's Holly Williams is in the capital, Kathmandu.
They've already begun to cremate their dead in Nepal, lighting Hindu funeral pyres for their loved ones. And still the aftershocks keep coming, jolting a nation that's already on edge. Thousands of people are sleeping on the street, not because their homes were destroyed, but because they're fearful of being inside if another tremor shakes buildings to their foundations.
The United States and other nations have responded with help, manpower, and supplies. Bettina Loshus with the World Food Program.
The most important thing what we need right now is medical supplies, shelter. It's cold at night. Mm. They sleep on the street. They can't cook anymore, so we're bringing them high-energy biscuits. We are flying those in.
And people in this country who have family and other loved ones in Nepal and haven't been able to reach them by phone or email are concerned. Subhash Rajal lives in Boston. He's heard members of his family have been left homeless.
Can't do anything right now. Just pray and hope they'll be fine.
At least 18 climbers were killed on the world's tallest peak, Mount Everest, because of avalanches triggered by the quake, including some Americans. Corey Fryer's husband, Tom Taplin, was on the mountain shooting a documentary.
Just blown right off the camp. They found his body quite a ways from camp, as I understand it.
Well, now there's an effort to get people on Mount Everest with conditions as they are down safely. Live to CBS's Vicki Barker.
Loretta Lance on Andy was above the Everest base camps when the avalanches hit. He survived, but she fears he and his fellow climbers aren't out of the woods yet.
And of course, that's my big fear, is they've got to come down off that mountain. And there's going to be avalanches all the way down. So, yes, they're safe. But that's only meaning, to me, that's only meaning they're safe at this moment.
The thin air at that altitude means helicopters reaching the ravaged base camps can only airlift two survivors at a time. The injured get priority, but the uninjured are running out of supplies. Steve?
Now to Colorado, where today there will be opening statements in the trial of James Holmes. He's accused of killing 12 people and wounding more than 70 others in a movie theater nearly 3 years ago. Here's CBS's Barry Peterson.
The key issue, was he insane when he pulled the trigger over and over? It's a difficult defense to pull off, says Nancy Leong, professor of law at the University of Denver.
It's scary to all of us because this is a situation in which we can all imagine the gunfire starting. I think that that's a really frightening possibility for a lot of people, and surely that has to have an emotional impact on the jury.
The one thing even the defense does not dispute is that Holmes did it. The only real question for the jury is, how will he pay for it? Barry Peterson, CBS News, Denver.
In Boston, the defense begins its case in the penalty phase for convicted marathon bomber Johar Tsarnaev today. They're trying to spare him the death penalty. The presentation's expected to take about 2 weeks. The Coast Guard is still searching for five missing boaters in Alabama's Mobile Bay. They were lost in a storm that roared through the weekend regatta that was held there. Steve Thompson, who's chief of the state's Marine Patrol, says two bodies were found.
Our guys worked long and hard, and we rescued so many people. This is an awful tragedy, and our hearts go out to the families.
North Texas was hit by heavy rain, hail, and strong winds late yesterday. Tornadoes were seen in some places. Reporter Arzo Dost has more.
Twisters touched down, downing trees and power lines, tearing off rooftops and spreading debris across roads.
We've got softball-sized hail going on. And I just got, yep, I'm okay. I just got glass all over me.
Softball-sized hail pelted homes and cars. Warning sirens blared across counties well into the morning. Menacing storm clouds could be seen for miles, bringing with them heavy lightning.
Thousands are without power there this morning. Maryland Congressman Elijah Cummings is in Baltimore, and he doesn't want any trouble today at the funeral of Freddie Gray.
I did not come here to ask the public to be respectful of the family. I've come here to beg them to.
There were weekend protests over the death of Gray and some scattered violence. He died of spinal injuries a week after his arrest by Baltimore police. Yesterday, there was a wake for the 25-year-old.
Everybody's at a peace. It was so comforting. And it was a beautiful thing to see that, because I was expecting to see people going crazy and zapping, but it was not that. It's very peaceful on the inside.
And tomorrow, the U.S. Supreme Court will consider the question of same-sex marriage. CBS's Barry Bagnato reports from Tuskegee, Alabama.
Tori and Shante Wolf Sisson met
on the floor where you're sitting
in this modest apartment here in what may be the nation's most antagonistic state when it comes to same-sex marriage. They got married during a very brief court-ordered window of opportunity in February.
To get a lot more stares, and I felt like, you know, well, this doesn't seem safe. Let me let go of your hand. But no, no, I have that same right as everyone else.
In landmark cases culminating years of political and legal battles, the Supreme Court will focus on laws in four states defining marriage as being between a man and a woman. Peter Sprigg of the Family Research Council argues there's no basis in the Constitution, in history, or in American tradition to view it otherwise.
Marriage has existed for thousands of years, and until the last blink of an eye of human history, it has always been defined as a male-female union.
It's an argument that has become much more difficult to make,
says CBS News senior legal analyst Andrew Cohen.
There is growing public support for legalized same-sex marriage, and the justices know it.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News, Tuskegee, Alabama.
The acting chief executive of the Clinton Foundation says it's working to fix mistakes in how it has disclosed donors and policies, and transparency and contributions from foreign governments are, in her words, stronger than ever. New questions about the foundation have emerged now that Hillary Clinton's in the presidential race. The new thaw with Cuba is warming up the travel industry.
We fly to Havana 6 days a week.
Tessie Aral is the president of ABC Charters. She says those flights are 80% full. She says much more has to happen before tourists can go there.
Opening of diplomatic relationships, opening of the embassies, clearing up the banking situation, which is horrible.
Not to mention roaming service for cell phones, working GPS, Cuba figuring out what Americans want in terms of activities and service. Something else will happen when regular commercial flights begin.
I have to reinvent myself because I'm no longer needed as a charter.
Aral hopes her experience and Cuban connections will keep her business running when the newcomers all try to get a piece of the pie. Peter King, CBS News, Miami.
A 17-year-old girl's going home from the hospital in Connecticut today. Her cancer treatment a success. Identified as Cassandra, she and her mom fought unsuccessfully to stop the chemotherapy for her lymphoma. Court sided with the state in the fight over her treatment. And that's the World News Roundup for Monday. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.